Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind Original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Audacy podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Audacy app and wherever you get your podcasts.
People are aroused. I haven't seen people so aroused in a very, very long time in terms of going, trying to get this done. So, yes, I think democracy will have an effect, and we are going to keep at it. We're going to keep at it legally. We're going to keep at it legislatively. But we're also going to keep at it in terms of the grassroots. Thank you, everybody.
Ryan, can you sum up Chuck Schumer there? I mean, he's watching RFK Jr. on Capitol Hill right now in Senate confirmation hearings, and he seems excited.
Well, what he's saying is that what we're seeing in the confirmation hearings is basically a sitting position. He's able to see everybody.
You can.
I'll just
people
stop.
People are aroused. I have.
See, he can see the whole picture. All,
you know,
we can see is just,
I can
right
have
chest
a whole
up.
Show planned. I can have everything ironed out beautifully for the day. And then Chuck Schumer says that, and I'm like, forget everything else.
Oh, I know. I listened to that on loop because it just made me laugh every time.
He's the
time.
Same one who accidentally said incite an erection.
Yes, he did.
He just is a little more on the, well.
That was, but point. What he said today was deliberate.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's all we got to say about that.
Yeah.
happy Wednesday. We'll leave it at that. RFK Jr. has been on Capitol Hill in front of the Senate Hearing Committee, and they have been peppering him back and forth. The traditional Republicans, like, you know, the interesting thing about this one specifically is the Republicans that are asking him questions, they're not, it's not just an emphatic love fest for Republican sake, because RFK Jr. is not a good Republican.
It's very true. It's
he's
been
also
a really interesting hearing.
Not a Republican.
He's not a Republican.
But he says this repeatedly. He said it on the campaign trail. He said it here today again, and I really do believe him. But he says that I get on my knees every night and pray to God that he will put me in a position to solve this chronic disease epidemic for our children. He specifically talks about children. And I feel, I don't know, I kind of believe him. I don't believe a lot of the people who I would continue to be blowhards, who are going to be spending their, 7 minutes, 5 minutes, whatever it might be, on this panel asking these questions. You want the campaign commercial. You want to be able to say that you held people to account that disagreed with you, so on and so forth. But there's something about RFK Jr., and I think it's because the one consistent thing that I've seen from him is his dedication to making our country healthier from the bottom up, not from waving his finger at you and shaming you for what you're doing, but in many ways saying everybody's being set up to fail because people want to get richer and you don't even know that this is taking place. And he's litigated over this quite a bit. You know, he talks about how he's also an environmentalist. He's kind of a climate guy. He talks about how the climate is affected by toxic chemicals, and it kills animals and it kills fish, and it, you know, is killing our nature. Well, that stuff gets in our food and it's killing us too. And for whatever reason in America, we're not doing things to prevent our people from being affected by these toxins the way other countries have already addressed them to be. And he wants to make America healthy, you know, I guess again, but I would say as 40-somethings in this room, our entire life has been a life of processed, chemically altered, or forged food. Our whole life. We have not been eating, as I tell my kids, if God made it, you can eat it. And even at that, you wonder, like, okay, if that came out of the ground, what was sprayed on it before it came out of the ground? Or how was it fed? What was altered about the way whatever you would assume would come from the ground, from the soil, from the earth, from the animals on our planet? Like, how have they been altered for the dollars and cents of it? I just don't think we know. But it is really wild to think that in my 40 years of life, that has been the entire four decades is chemically altered and processed food.
And instead of running from it, I've just turned and embraced it. And I eat basically just processed foods. But that's not because I want to. It's because it's the easiest thing to do. And if they could make it easier for me to eat healthier, I'd be glad.
He said at the beginning of this that if you want to eat a Hostess Twinkie, I wonder if Hostess was like, yeah.
Oh, wait, that's us. Oh, wait. Ooh. I don't know if we want to be here.
Yeah. He's like, if you want to eat a Hostess Twinkie, eat a Hostess Twinkie. I just want you to know what is going into that when you consume it. I think the pressures to make these types of foods that we consume on a regular basis healthier. I mean, if a piece of candy needs to be a little less red in order for it to not have red dye number four or whatever the heck it is in it. Mm-hmm. Is it still going to taste good? Can we do without the red dye four? Is it easy to do, especially if that those types of things are already being made? The formulas already exist for other countries that don't have the fear in restricting this. Maybe they're willing to stand up against the dollar that is being made to make it cheaper. I don't understand any of it. I'm very interested in the conversation as a whole, to hear what are we doing to poison our bodies and we have no idea that we're doing it. I know so many people, I'm included in that, especially having four babies and going in and out of trying to lose weight, that there are some things that seem so incredibly difficult to achieve. And then you find out that these chemicals that are being pumped into, say, the beef that you're eating or that are being sprayed on the food that you're trying to consume are working against your biology to help you be a naturally healthy person. Like, we are designed in a way that is supposed to maintain a healthy system. And when you put in chemicals that are foreign to it, you start to alter those things. And then we get chronic disease, which is another thing he talks about a lot. My eyes are wide open. My ears are wide open on it. The person who I found the most compelling today as far as a center goes is Senator Ron Johnson from Wisconsin, who says what I think. I found myself going, yes, that's the attitude I'm having today.
Bobby, this is an answer to my prayers. We need to get to the answers of this, but even more, we need to heal and unify this divided nation. I'm not necessarily the most optimistic guy because we've got enormous challenges facing this nation. But I thought, wow, here's somebody from the left, somebody I don't agree with on many issues politically, coming together with President Trump and focusing on an area of agreement, something that the American people desperately want. Finding out the answers. What has caused autism? What is causing chronic illness? Ms. Kennedy, I think I've come to know what's in your heart. I think I know the personal and political price you've paid for this decision. I want to say publicly, I thank you for that. I truly appreciate what you're doing here. Can't we come together as a nation and do this? Can we do it? Aren't you getting tired of this? I'm getting tired of this.
So Senator Johnson there is making a really important political point, not for political gain, I don't think. I think he truly feels this. But here you have a bipartisan committee in front of a nominee from the president who won the popular vote, of course, the electoral vote, 7 out of 7 swing states, the Republican House, the Republican Senate. I mean, Donald Trump won. America chose him. America picked him over the alternative in the Democrat Party. And they're sitting across a Democrat who was appointed or nominated by Donald Trump to serve in this capacity because they were able to look at each other eye to eye and see that they had a mutual interest in accomplishing something bigger than just themselves or their prospective parties. I am more leery of RFK Jr. in this position as I am with anybody, just because he doesn't toe the Republican line. But how many Republicans have we watched toe the line and then really suck at their jobs? RFK Jr. has a passion for what he can potentially transformatively affect our healthcare system, the health of the American people. And I do believe him when he says to Donald Trump, you know, we disagree on a lot of things, but we agree on this. Let's come together and do something good where we agree that this is the idea of America. You are encouraged to have your own thoughts and perspectives on any particular issue. But if you can come together, where two can come together, 3, 4, 5, and you can care about something bigger than just yourself, you can really do magnificent things. And it's happening there. And then we watch on this panel, the Republican-Democrat, Republican-Democrat ping pong, and that's all the same. And I just thought from Johnson there, that was a bit of a breath of fresh air to be like, folks, this is the ideal here. Everybody is represented in some way here. There's what could possibly be done from an electorate that sends Donald Trump to be the president, who has the ability to nominate his cabinet? Who could he possibly pick? Name anybody that would be even remotely nominatable by Donald Trump that any of these Democrats would like.
Yeah, it just wouldn't happen. I'm actually glad that RFK Jr. is a Democrat. He doesn't fall into boxes. And that's what I like about him. He's kind of like Trump in the sense that you can go back decades and he's been saying the same thing for so long. So you know he's stuck to his principles. And this guy in particular, Donald Trump's very like this too, but RFK Jr. is a Kennedy. He could sit in Massachusetts. He could go to the Hamptons. He's got a celebrity wife. He's part of the culture. He could have been an environmentalist who everybody thought it was cool to be around him. He could have had a very easy life. And he has chosen to go after a very, very heart-centered issue for him. It has been for a long time. So in that sense, I'm not sure how you could not believe him that he's not going to toe the line. He does not care what system is in his way. He doesn't care what the label is. He's got a goal, and he goes after it. And I really respect that about him.
The hearings are continuing to occur here, and you know, like we could at this point, we could cover it, but it's you kind of know what's going to happen. And the whole time I'm listening to it, I'm waiting to hear specifically for RFK Jr. because Tulsi Gabbard is another one that I'm interested in and what she has to say. Cash Patel is popcorn stuff. That will be very interesting to watch just for the theatrics of it. But I wanted to hear what he had to say. I wanted to give him the opportunity to persuade me. Like, this is the right guy for the job. I mean, he talks about praying to God to send him the opportunity to do what he's about to have the chance to do. And I felt confidence watching him today in a way that, like, if I'm watching Pam Bondi, it's like, yes, okay. Just
right.
Do the thing, get it done, approver, fine. Kind of the same thing with Pete Hegseth. If he's got the votes, he's got the votes. I think the RFK Jr. vote, when it comes down, will be very interesting to see if some Democrats do cross over. I think you'll see Democrats vote for him. I don't think that any of these nominees are in trouble.
Yeah, I don't either. They keep saying that Tulsi's the one that everybody's thinking might have the toughest time. But I unless she totally bombs.
I don't know. I don't. I feel like RFK Jr. has been more discussed in that way than Tulsi.
Well, he's certainly been grilled today.
We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, the Attorney General of the state of Missouri is going to join us. Andrew Bailey on the Annie Fry Show. I'm excited to talk to him about some of the efforts that Donald Trump has put into play, some of the executive orders, and how he expects to represent that and the law in the state of Missouri, specifically when it comes to DEI and also immigration and what we're seeing across the country. If it's here in Missouri, what about that cooperation between law enforcement agencies? Andrew Bailey next.
Any person with common sense and two eyes would have concluded that this virus almost certainly came from a laboratory. I was pleased to see that CIA has now reached that same conclusion. And as Director Ratcliffe said, that happened on Joe Biden's watch. I read that report before Director Ratcliffe publicized it. It happened in the final week of the Biden administration. It cannot be accused of a politicized intelligence assessment. That's the best evidence we have.
Well, the official position of the CIA is that the COVID-19 virus came out of a lab in China. What is that going to mean for the rest of the world? Is there any sort of follow-up that we're going to have when we take account for that? We're going to ask our attorney general here in the state of Missouri, Andrew Bailey, who is back with us once again. Happy New Year. It's great to have you back.
Hey, thank you, ma'am. Happy New Year to you as well. Thanks for having me on.
Of course. I got to ask you, how are you feeling 10, 11 days into this new presidency? There's a lot going on, and I'd imagine you're on the edge of your seat.
Oh, totally energized by everything the president is doing to make America great again. Bold, decisive, transformative action. From the moment he was sworn in until now, I mean, he's already been to how many different states, signed how many different executive orders. I mean, this is just incredible how quickly, the pace at which he's undoing the disaster that was the Biden-Harris administration. And certainly, you know, that report that came out from the CIA opining that it was a lab leak from China that caused the COVID-19 pandemic. It's something we all knew, but now we've got the documented evidence to prove it. And it makes China more culpable in unleashing that pandemic on the entire world.
Yeah, I'm reading here about how Missouri is the only state in the nation to file suit to hold the Chinese Communist Party accountable for causing and exacerbating COVID-19. Gosh, accountability, that's something we haven't really heard of, even had the expectation for. What can you get out of this type of accountability?
Well, we're asking for $25 billion in restitution for the people of the state of Missouri. Look, China caused the pandemic. They caused the COVID-19 pandemic, and their culpability has only increased over time as more evidence comes out. And after they caused the pandemic, they've then withheld and hoarded PPE that the people of the state of Missouri needed, and certainly the government in the state of Missouri needed to respond to the pandemic. This is absolutely abhorrent, and the Chinese communist government should be made to pay for this. And look, the people's elected representatives in Congress contemplated that the states would have disputes against foreign entities, and so they enacted a statute. It's called the Foreign Sovereign Immunities Act. That's the basis for our claim. I think we're going to win. I think we're going to get $25 billion judgment against the Chinese Communist Party, and we'll seek to execute that judgment.
So let me ask you this. Attorney General Andrew Bailey here with us on the Annie Fry Show. When you're the Attorney General for a very red state in the state of Missouri and Joe Biden is the president, how does your day, your schedule change when Donald Trump becomes the president and you are still the Attorney General of that red state?
Well, we're glad to have a partner in the White House that it shares our vision for putting Americans first, putting Missourians first, protecting Missourians and our communities instead of woke, radical, left-wing, progressive ideology that only harms people and, you know, is done for as a fashion statement rather than for practical good. But look, at the end of the day, the nameless, faceless bureaucrats that occupied cubicles in Washington, D.C. and the alphabet soup of the federal bureaucratic administrative state that was always unaccountable to the electorate and never sanctioned by the United States Constitution that President Trump is firing, those people don't go away. They just move to other offices and cause us problems. They're occupying offices in blue states and blue cities across the United States of America. And so the fight goes on and we have to stay vigilant. And if anyone doubts what I'm saying, look no further than Mayor Quentin Lucas of Kansas City's tweet inviting those bureaucrats that have been fired to come work for the city of Kansas City right here in Missouri. It's deplorable. We're going to keep up on offense.
Attorney General Andrew Bailey with us right now on the Annie Frye Show. Let's talk about some of the actions that Donald Trump has taken, specifically and the most aggressively, I would say, is his unleashing of Tom Holman to extract the illegal alien criminals out of our towns, our neighborhoods, our communities. And, you know, I see a lot of emotion from people who feel as though that this is a very, very terrible thing. But then every time I see Tom Holman on television all the time, and he's explaining, like, these are the worst of the worst people, and we're getting them out of the country because they're here illegally and they're committing crimes. How does Missouri react to President Trump's initiative to clean these criminals out of our state and make sure that Missourians can live safely and securely in the state?
Well, 100% supportive of the president's efforts to, again, put Americans first. Our immigration code and our national borders mean something. And you're right. These people that are here, they broke the law to get here, and then they commit additional crimes while here. And in the state of Missouri, we're one of the last states in the nation. So it's a felony offense to knowingly transport an illegal alien into or through this state. It's an anti-human trafficking measure that's absolutely a compelling state interest, given our crossroads, being at the crossroads of the nation and having an extensive interstate system. So we intend to enforce that law and partner with President Trump. I'm proud to see our governor, Mike Kehoe, on day one, minutes after he was sworn into office, signing executive orders, contemplating that we would be cooperating with the federal government using the law enforcement apparatus of the state to not only collect data, but to train with ICE to assist them in these endeavors.
You know, I'm watching my state. J.B. Pritzker has probably been the loudest mouth out there to try to talk about pushing back and not cooperating with the measures that are put in place by the new administration. Can you kind of walk me through, you know, what does Missouri have as far as choice goes to participate or to not participate in what the federal government is trying to do here?
Well, there's a codicil in the immigration code that allows a state to opt in and send law enforcement officers that are employed by the state to federal training to then partner with the federal government to augment deportation and immigration code enforcement efforts. And that's what President Kehoe has committed the state of Missouri to doing. And I think it's just the tip of the spear. I think you'll see additional resources deployed in that effort. And I think you see bills moving in the Missouri General Assembly now to compact with other states to fight back against criminal aliens and to, again, assist President Trump in the deportation efforts.
Another effort that we've seen President Trump enacting here in his first days in office has to do with DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion, and really saying that's done. We're not doing that any longer. How do you feel as though DEI has made its way into the state of Missouri? Are you proud of what the kind of defense that Missouri has put up towards it? And will these executive orders affect the people of Missouri at all?
Yeah, certainly. I mean, look, your tax dollars will no longer be wasted on promoting people in a racist fashion and to enforce segregation in public places. That's what those DEI programs at the federal level were. So proud to see President Trump, really fulfilling the promise of the 14th Amendment to the United States Constitution of equal protection and due process that creates a meritocracy and dismantling those racist systems that Biden and Harris had put into place. I was proud to lead that effort here in the state of Missouri over the past 2 years, not only with lawsuits using the Missouri Human Rights Act against localities that were promoting racist policy, but also against corporations. We were the first state in the nation to sue IBM for their racist DEI program, where you had the president of IBM threatening his executives that if they didn't promote one race over another, they would miss out on their bonuses. That absolutely violates the Missouri Human Rights Act, over which the Attorney General has enforcement authority. So proud to have been on the front end of this and that it's now coming to fruition nationwide.
Andrew Bailey speaking with us right now, the Attorney General for the state of Missouri. You can follow him on X at AG Andrew Bailey. We were talking a little bit about China at the beginning of our conversation here and the lawsuit against them for causing and exacerbating COVID-19. You're seeking $25 billion in damages for the people of Missouri. Another question I'm getting here from our listeners who are following us along here on the Annie Frye Show live chat is people are kind of wondering about that purchase of land that some Chinese interests have made. Is there any sort of plan in place for Chinese-owned land in the state of Missouri to correct that, what a lot of people think is an error?
Yeah, absolutely. Look, there's a statute on the books now that limits how much foreign ownership of land is allowed, and certainly that's something we monitor constantly to ensure that Missouri farmland is utilized by Missouri farmers. But beyond that, I would say that this lawsuit is really the vehicle by which we can course correct. China hadn't shown up to court. They were served and provided due process, but that's how little they think of these United States of America, that they couldn't even be bothered to show up in court. Well, if they had a case to put on, if they weren't guilty of inflicting COVID on the rest of us and then hoarding PPE, they would have shown up in court. They didn't. That's why we're going to get the default judgment for $25 billion. And the Foreign Sovereign Immunities Act, again, that's a statute enacted by the people's elected representatives in Congress, contemplates a method by which a state can then execute that kind of judgment. So China's not going to send us a check. We're going to have to go find Chinese assets, have them seized and sold, and then that money returned to the state of Missouri. So certainly that farmland's on the table.
That was a nice little wrap around on points there. I appreciate that. That's very interesting. Andrew Bailey with us right now. Before we let you go, I understand Pam Bondi was voted out of committee. She's going to be up for her full confirmation vote shortly. Does it, when you're working with an attorney general that is politically aligned with you, do you expect things to start moving at a rapid pace here? Does that take a little pressure off of you because now it's happening at the federal level? What do you think of the possible approval here of Pam Bondi and what happens next?
Well, I'm encouraged that that's moved out of committee and would encourage the Senate to go ahead and confirm her instantly. I know General Pam Bondi have had the opportunity to meet with her and for her to articulate her vision for the Department of Justice, and it perfectly aligns with President Trump's vision for America and with our vision for the state of Missouri. Look, Pam Bondi has been a state attorney general. She was attorney general in Florida, so she's done the job that I now do here in Missouri. She's seen it at the state level. She knows how to do it in the federal level. She's going to make America safe again by getting rid of the terrorists that have infiltrated this country, ending the scourge of fentanyl and human trafficking that have been the result of the Biden-Harris administration's porous and open border.
Well, Andrew Bailey, you're a very busy man. We understand that. We appreciate it. And we love to see how you are hustling for the people of Missouri. I know they love it as well. So don't be a stranger. Come back soon and let us know how you continue your progress in fighting for the taxpayers, the citizens of this state and this country. We appreciate you.
Hey, thank you, ma'am. God bless you and your listeners. Look forward to talking again soon.
All right. God bless you as well. Andrew Bailey, appreciate the opportunity to speak with him. I did not. A lot of times I know the answers to the questions I'm asking, or at least I can't say them the way they would with the facts, but I did not connect that $25 billion. And fine, we'll take your land back.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I mean, I just like thinking outside the box. I mean, that's what we're seeing across the board right now. It's just people going, well, why do we have to do things that way?
Mm-hmm.
And seeing people creatively come up with solutions is fun.
Just seize your assets. man. Well, you know how Chuck Schumer feels about that. I will play that at least six more times today. Just you wait.
Maybe before the end of the hour,
it's,
six more times.
It's possible. I doubt it'll happen in Wiggins America.
No.
No.
You don't think so?
No.
Yeah, I don't know how that would come
it's like
up.
A cold shower.
Yeah. Yeah. And I did not even mean to make the pun I just made.
People are like, what?
What are they talking about?
I'm going to play it for you again here in a little bit. But before we go to a break, it is National School Choice Week, which is pretty amazing. The fact that you could, you know, choose where your child is going to go to school, how your child's going to learn, if a specific school in your area is failing, you don't have to send your kids there and watch them fail forward on your children. School choice is so important. I really am hopeful that the Trump administration will champion school choice. We haven't seen the Secretary of Education hearings yet. That will become, I think, a big topic of conversation just a little bit downstream from Secretary of Defense and Attorney General and the types of conversations we've seen so far. This is on our show this week, National Lutheran Schools Week. So today we are addressing to like the person that is to our studio left. So if you don't know this, if you've ever checked in the YouTube, you might have an idea, but maybe not. To my left is Brad. To Brad's left is Ethan. To Ethan's left is Ryan. And to Ryan's left is me.
Yeah.
2 o'clock's going to be
funny how that turned out.
Two o'clock. Well, you were the last one to respond. Everybody was on board. You didn't respond till this morning.
That's true.
That's on you.
Well, I saw it last minute.
Uh-huh.
And so my costume reflects that.
You're saying you put in less effort to get ready than I normally would?
No. I did put a decent amount of effort in.
2 o'clock.
But
do you think that at 2 o'clock is it like reveal worthy? Like
oh yeah.
Mary Todd Lincoln?
Yes.
Ethan said in our group chat, he goes, I hope you can grow your hair out by tomorrow morning. And I just wrote back, he has a bag of wigs.
I do.
So and... I'm nervous a little bit about what your interpretation of me is going to look like.
I'll just say this. I think I've really encapsulated you. And like, not maybe outwardly, but inwardly, like your soul.
My spirit.
Yeah.
My soul.
Yeah. You'll see.
Are you going to be a jerk?
I don't know, man.
That hesitation
a long pause.
Is what I needed to know. 2 p.m.
It does deserve a reveal, though.
I am already dressed like Brad.
Yeah.
I got my Adidas jacket on and a Cardinals shirt on. I didn't know what else to do. There's not much else. No.
Grow a beard.
Nailed it.
So I could grow a beard, but I can't. So I didn't. You have any beards in that
Yeah, I probably do. I didn't bring the bag, but I probably have some beards. And I know I have mustaches in there.
We are raising funds to reach this super tall order of $15,000 for a Lutheran Education Scholarship that will help children in our area, in our listening area, in St. Louis. The money stays here. And if we get to $15,000, they are going to match $10,000. Originally, they set out and they're like, we could raise like $5,000. I was like, I think we can do more than that. I want to put the pressure on my people. And now I'm in the middle of the week going, oh, my gosh, we should have just really like hit the ball out of the park with $5,000 and been like, oh, high fives all around. But that $15,000 mark is so important to hit because once this scholarship is endowed, it's established, it's perpetual. We can continue to add to it maybe annually or whatever, but it will continue to bless kids going forward as it continues to grow. And so I'm asking you, if you've ever appreciated the idea of school choice, if you have ever appreciated the idea of parochial education, if you've ever appreciated your Lutheran faith and you are connected here to the show because you know that I'm Lutheran, I do talk about my faith. Ryan and Brad are not Lutheran, but they often share their faith as well. It's important to the fabric of this show from noon to three. We want to make more St. Louis families in Missouri and Illinois have access to that strong foundation. And by doing so, we need you to donate. LESA, Lisa, LESASTL.org/Annie. That's where you go to donate. And I'm here to tell you that right now, we are just short of $7,000.
Oh, great. That's good.
The goal for today was going to be $9,000 because we're trying to go $3,000 every day. If we do that, we'll get to 15. We're very close to $7,000. So if you can go on to the website right now, Lisa, LESASTL.org/Annie, $25 can help us get there. We've had donations of $1,000. Whatever you are capable of doing, please consider that generosity. Once we get done with it this week, I won't talk about it anymore, but please help us get across the finish line. Lisa, STL.org/Annie. Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. It is Spirit Week on the Annie Fry Show. It's National Lutheran Schools Week, National School Choice Week, and today we are dressed like each other. So I'm dressed like Brad. Brad's, you're going to change it too.
Yeah, I'm going to change.
I didn't have a big reveal. Was yesterday Winnie the Pooh?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a little, I was a little disconcerted yesterday. I walked out of the studio after I had my Winnie the Pooh onesie on and I passed producer Drew and he was like, hey, Annie. I was like, I'm dressed as Winnie the Pooh, like a little, like, don't act like this is normal.
Yeah.
And then
you know what, though? You do work at a radio station.
I know, but we're not the weird ones.
No, but there's always just stuff going on.
We don't have to yuck yuck.
Yeah, we do.
It's like bigger when we do.
I guess that's true.
Maybe Camo X a little bit more.
Now, let's shoe on the other foot. If Mark Cox walks by wearing a Winnie the Pooh outfit, did Drew say something?
Hard to tell. I don't know if this is a Drew thing or a 97.1 thing.
That's why I'm asking.
Yesterday I was like, I go, Drew, I'm going to need a little more like, what are you doing dressed like this reaction. Today he saw me, he's like, oh no, Winnie the Pooh Day. I'm like, no, today I'm Brad. He goes, oh, I see it. So at 2 o'clock, we're going to have a Brad, Ethan, Ryan reveal. Brad dressing like Ethan, Ethan dressing like Ryan, and Ryan dressing like the host of the show.
Yes. Captured it well, too, I might add.
On a scale of 0 to 10, and I'm giving you 0 as an option, how much are people going to love your iteration of me?
9.
I love that you weren't willing to go to a 10.
There's always room for improvement, Annie, as I always say.
Am I the last one?
You could alter yourself to be closer to my costume. Oh. That's what I'm saying.
I don't know about that. If you want to support our shenanigans here, the best way to do it is to donate to our Lutheran Education Scholarship that we are working hard on meeting our $15,000 goal by the end of the week, but we're trying to get to $9,000 today. I haven't gotten an update this hour, but we're just short of $7,000. So if you could please make a donation, it's going straight to help local kids access that Lutheran education, make it even more affordable than it already is. So please, lesastl.org/Annie.
Wiggins! Oh! Wiggins!
I looked up today and I saw RFK Jr. trying to save us from bad food, and I thought, how can I help?
Yeah.
And I said, well, if he can save us from bad food, I can save us from bad manners while eating that food.
Can you imagine Ryan Wiggins at a Senate hearing?
No. But, I think that means that we should try it. Let's pull the strings that we have and see if I can get nominated for something in the Buttigieg category.
What do those strings include?
What does that mean?
Something that Buttigieg, you would have thought would have been like really unimportant until they took it, and then you realized how important it was.
Oh man, that's super important.
Yeah.
George wants to know, is Ryan's costume going to involve lipstick?
No.
That's disappointing.
We'll have to wait till 2 and
see. It's not 2 o'clock yet.
What if the people get us to $9,000 before 2 o'clock?
Will I put on lipstick?
Yeah.
If they get us to $9,000 before
2 o'clock?
2?
I mean, that's not going to happen. That's a safe. Yeah. You look like a good guy by doing it.
You know what? For the kids. I'll do just the upper lip.
You put lipstick just on for the kids?
If we get to 10,000 by 2?
Ethan, no.
You know what? That's probably poorly phrased.
No. $9,000 goal by 2 o'clock.
Yep, upper lip. And a little bit of the lower lip, I'll do the Betty Boop thing.
Just the middle.
Yeah, just the middle.
That'll be a look.
Go back to your topic.
That's right.
$9,000, people. Man, if you make this happen, would Wiggins allow Annie to apply the lipstick? No, Annie would not allow that. He can have my lipstick. He could just have the rest of it.
Yeah, well, whose lipstick am I using? That's another question. Can you donate lipstick?
If Brad won't let you use his, you can use mine. Yeah.
Okay. You can't use mine.
Does it have monetary value?
Can I use the cream from a fudge round? Because I will. I will. I promise you. It's for the children.
People
all right.
are aroused.
No.
I haven't
Chuck.
Seen people so aroused in a very, very long time in terms of going, trying to.
Hey, I just
the people around him are kind of shuffling around. Oh, yeah.
That's the moment where you see the person next to him that just like slow pan. Did you hear what you just said? All right. We did half your segment for you.
Yep. Thank you very much. These are ways in which you may be messing up at restaurants. And I want to point them out. Shine a spotlight on it. I'm gonna say the thing. You tell me whether you think it's appropriate or inappropriate, and I'll tell you how the survey came down.
Okay. Survey says,
is it okay with you to ask for a bottle of wine before purchasing it, to taste it?
I'm not applicable.
Okay.
I would
probably
know.
Not you either.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
Maybe
know.
Not the one to start with. Ethan.
I will say yes.
Most people say it is acceptable to do that. 43% say yes. 33% say unacceptable. How about ones that are a little more universal, like leaving no tip after receiving bad service?
You would have to, in order to not tip, there would have to be discussions had and things be very clear. Like if what happens if you have really bad service and you get comped your food? I'd probably, I don't know.
What about if none of that happens, you just had a fine meal, but bad service?
No.
Or even just a bad meal, bad service.
I'd probably tip 15%.
You'd still tip?
Mm-hmm. I'm 20% and then round up on average to good service.
Do you always tip?
I always tip unless it's just atrocious.
But like, there is a situation where it would be.
Yeah, but it's so ridiculous. Like rudeness, they call you names, whatever, that sort of thing.
So it's like
no tip.
It's like Dick's Last Resort if that was real. If they were actually like not supposed to act like that, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So you're a yes.
I mean, once it would have to. It's so unrealistic for someone to treat you that poorly when their job is to treat you well. So I mean, that would happen. I mean, one in a million.
Well, this is true. The majority of people say it is unacceptable to not tip.
Yeah, I would agree.
Although I find it to be a situation if it's that bad, and it would have to be one in a thousand times I've been to a restaurant that it would actually be that bad that I would actually leave no tip. But I'm not taking it off the table.
Servers make like what? $6 an hour or something like that. At least, something like that when I was doing that. So I mean, you pretty much live off of tips.
How about snapping your fingers to
get the waiter's attention? Never. Stop. If you think this is okay, you're not even allowed to speak.
Now, the vast majority say, 81% say, nope,
no,
can't nothing. Do that. What about taking an extended period of time to decide what to order?
My New Year's resolution last year was to know what I want to order when I get to the drive-thru.
That's a good resolution.
And I did it. My family is now capable of, we get up there and we order. There's no thinking at the drive-thru.
Okay.
And I previously was not that person, and it required focus, and I was able to accomplish it. If I'm sitting down in a restaurant and I really don't know what I'm doing, or maybe I got to go take a kid to the bathroom, or my husband has to go do like run out to the car or something, all you do is reflect the time that you've spent there in your tip. So if you've taken more than your fair share of time, leave more than the fair share of tip.
I think the most frustrating thing is when it's one thing if you get there and you are very focused trying to figure out what you want and that is what's occupying your time. But if you are on multiple occasions, the server is getting to the table and you're saying, oh, I haven't even looked yet. I'm still talking. You've just been interacting and talking. That's when I start, as a server, I would start to get a little bit like, okay, let's get it going.
This one's pretty evenly split. It's 48% say acceptable. So it's right down the middle. This one surprised me. How about flirting with the staff? Now, it's not that any of us, we're all married. We're not going to do this. But would you, if you see it, are you like, oh, man, no way? Or is it dependent on the situation?
Well, flirting is very subjective because people can be playful in conversation and it's not like flirtatious, like sexually flirtatious.
Right.
I feel like I find myself in flirtatious conversations a lot. Unintentionally.
Okay.
But I give it back if it's like playful.
Ryan,
you know what
use
I'm saying?
That in the 2 o'clock hour.
I will. It's part of the costume. You're like,
hello. Yoo-hoo. That's so offensive. That is not what I was saying.
That's Annie Fry. Oh, that's Annie Fry. You know, I walk down the hall and people are like, well, that's clearly Annie. She's waving a feather boa.
I'm so red right now.
I'll walk by. It's the first time anybody has ever said hubba hubba when I walk by. Like, wow, look at that guy. He's dressed like somebody. Who is it?
Tell him to donate.
Yeah. As I walk by the construction workers. Hey, this is for Lutheran education. Well, anyway, we don't have time to play the Chuck Schumer clip again, but that'll be coming up in the next hour. Stick around. It's the Annie Fry Show, 97.1 FM Talk.
Hello.